Father God, we thank you so much for your grace which surrounds us. We thank you for the voice of the prophets. And Lord, when we find it hard to listen to them, would you give us grace? Would you give us strength that we might hear your voice and shape our lives around it? We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to start off with, I do need a volunteer. Would anyone like to help me with this talk? Anyone at all? Do you have to be young, old, anyone who wants to help? I can see that Jeff is absolutely itching to get up. Don't fight it, Jeff. Come on, come and join me. So good news, last week we got you setting fire to things. This week, can you blow some things up for us? There's a vague fire safety notice. Please, can you, you'll know when the right moment is to do it. Okay. Please fire them that way away from the candles. I know that you enjoyed setting fire to things last week, but your job is different now. Perfect. So just wait there, that'd be perfect. We'll know when we get to it. Is that, you're okay? Perfect. This Advent, we are thinking about prophecy. Prophets were the men and women who heard God's voice and shared his message with the people. They had an important job to do in the nations of Israel and in Judah. They gave voice to God so that the people could hear his instructions to them. But it wasn't always easy for the prophets, because a lot of the time they didn't give messages that the people wanted to hear. And by that, particularly the kings who were supposed to be in charge of those nations. That meant that they were often at odds with the king, and the messages that God gave them often wanted them to correct how they were living. And let's be honest, none of us like being told that we're doing it wrong. But as well as being messengers from God to his people, the prophets also made prophecies, predictions of what would happen in the future. And it's worth asking an important question here. What is a prophecy for? They were to do three things. Provide information for the future, which only becomes helpful at the right time. As a demonstration of the prophet's power and authority, and in that, the power and authority of God. And to authenticate something that will happen. For this to work, a prophecy needs to be specific. You have to know when the prophecy has been fulfilled. It means that it can't be something that you know will happen. So, for example, if I were to say, I prophesy that the sun will come up tomorrow, that doesn't help us at all, because we all know that the sun will come up tomorrow. It has to be something that will happen in the future. But it does technically give us information about the future. The sun will come up tomorrow, but because we know it is going to happen, it is not really a prophecy. So, for example, I prophesy that there will be a bank later in this talk. Later. Again, not a great prophecy, because you can all see that I've set this up to happen. You're doing a really great job there. Just keep waiting for now. Thank you. In our Bible reading, we hear the voice of the prophet Micah, who we think lived around the 8th century BC. That means that the words of prophecy that were coming about the Messiah, a mighty ruler who would rule Israel, were coming around 700 to 800 years before the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Good news, you actually don't have to wait that long. So this is how the prophecy would work. How does the prophecy rank on our idea of what the prophecy is about? Does it give new information that we didn't have? Tick. It demonstrates power and authority for God. Yes. Less so for Micah, because 800 years was a little bit long for him to have to wait to say, I told you so. Lastly, the prophecy that Micah offers about the Messiah being born in Bethlehem does come true, because it authenticates who Jesus is when he arrives. We know Jesus is the Messiah because he was born in Bethlehem as the prophecy foretold. It's not quite time yet, though. It sounds like the prophecy has been fulfilled, but we're not quite there yet. You just have to keep waiting. Micah's prophecy has two parts to it, you see. The first part talks about the Messiah being born in Bethlehem, and that is covered as Jesus is born. But if we read on, the prophecy also says this: the Messiah will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. The image of a shepherd is one associated with kings in Israel. So it tells us that the Messiah will be a ruler whose greatness will reach the ends of the earth. It tells us what power and majesty of the king will be over all things. One of the great things about having Jeff here is he's going to be able to answer my questions. Jeff, who is the king?
Jesus. Baby Jesus.
That, we've fallen into squirrel theory here. I know when a vicar asks you a question.
Charles. Charles.
King Charles, perfect, brilliant. Squirrel theory is if a vicar asks you a question, it might sound a lot like a squirrel, but the answer is always Jesus. Yeah, so King Charles, he is the king of Great Britain and an assortment of Commonwealth nations, but there's another king in Spain.
Jesus.
Don't overplay your part. King Philip VI of Spain. How about Sweden?
Jesus.
I can see there's a theme here. It's Carl the 16th. The USA and France don't have kings. They have presidents. So it doesn't seem at the moment that that second half of Micah's prophecy has come to pass. We have kings and presidents and rulers all around the world who are not the Messiah. So it doesn't sound like there's much for us to celebrate so far. We've worked out that Jesus isn't yet king of everything. It still leaves us waiting. Still leaves us waiting. Waiting for our celebration of Christmas, but waiting too for the second coming. There are a series of tiny Advent poems which I really love. They help us to explore this season, and this is one of them. Advent is the hush in the theatre between the house lights going down and the curtain going up. If we are waiting in the moment, the question is, how do we wait? Jeff has to pay attention, because he has to make sure he doesn't miss his cue. And you're doing great. Just a little longer. There are three ways in which we can wait. The first is passive waiting. You just stand there and wait for the thing to happen. Think of it as what you do when you go and stand at a bus stop or standing at the front of church with a party popper. This kind of waiting isn't very productive. We're stuck in the moment and we can't get on with anything else until the thing we're waiting for actually happens. The second is active waiting. It's folding the laundry while your tea is brewing, answering your messages on the phone while you wait for the bus. It's doing the best you can do while you wait, and can be a very productive way of working. Of the two options, our idea is frequently that the second is the better, because being more productive is better, isn't it? That's what the world tells us. But waiting without doing nothing can be frustrating. But there is also a third option. We can live in the reality that has not yet arrived. We can live as if the thing that we're waiting for has already happened. We can worship Jesus as King of all before the whole world sees that reality. And in doing that, we don't just listen to the prophecy, our lives become the prophecy. People can look at us and see that we are living in the coming reality that Jesus Christ is Lord. To pick up the language of the tiny Advent poem, our lives become the play and God is the director. So we need our lives to tell the story of Jesus' life. We need to become the demonstration to the world of what Jesus' reign will look like. So the celebration can begin. There we go. You can let the other one off whenever you like. Pick your best moments. I can now wait with anticipation as well. So we are called to live prophetic lives that point to and will herald the return of Jesus as King of all things. Thessalonians 5:2 reminds us of this. For you, For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, or a party popper from a person standing next to you. So we need to start to live in a way which leaves us ready and watching for the Lord's return and live in the glory of his rule today. Jeff, thank you. Your patience is brilliant. I know that you thought you were a thing waiting to do celebration, but you were actually my example of someone waiting. So thank you for being patient and being caught up in things. Just have to celebrate you as well. Let's just pause for a moment and pray. Father God, even though we are waiting for Jesus' return, we pray that we would do so in a way which lets the world see Jesus' rule and reign and the growth of his kingdom today. May our lives be an act of prophecy to a world in need. May they hear the good news of Jesus being born amongst us. May they hear the good news of his coming kingdom and the making good of all things. We pray, Lord God, you would give us strength to walk in your ways, to hear the words of the prophet and shine them in our lives, that we would be a light shining in the darkness that points to the great light of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.